for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the Saturday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, March 22, 2008. Darlena Fields is the speaker of this service, teaching on life after deliverance. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
But here's the problem, and I'll say it this way since we're all girls, that the earth can't hold up under a peasant girl who's become a queen. Because, see, peasant girls are born into insignificance. She learns as she grows up that she has no value and her opinions don't matter. And after becoming a queen, she's important to the kingdom of heaven and the world around her, but she's still insignificant in the kingdom that lies within her. So she doesn't watch her words or her actions. She hasn't fully conceived how she shows up in life and how she affects others because she hasn't gotten it. So she continues to live inconsistent with who she is. And ultimately, living inconsistently with who you are not only destroys you, but will destroy people around you. So you must recognize that you're living in this place. You're peasant living. And get beyond it. Leave it behind and learn to act and think and walk in the authority and the power of our royal calling. You see, you will always reproduce in the environment around you what you cultivate within you. Did y'all get that? You will always reproduce around you what you cultivate within you. I'll give you an example. Back in the 1970s, don't know what city it was, possibly Hollywood, and California decided they were going to get all the homeless people off the street. So they built government housing for all the homeless people. They got them all off the street. Woohoo! They accomplished their goal. In 5 years, the homeless people had the housing development destroyed, and they were back on the street. Because homelessness is not a lifestyle or something that's happened to you. It's something that's in you. We had a lady come to us this past summer that was on her way to go live in the streets of Florida. Because what her belief system told her was there was no point in life. But we captured her, pulled her into her greatness before she was able to do that. We spoke to her who she really was. She was not a homeless, pointless person. We pulled her up to her greatness. You know who she really is? She's got a degree in engineering, writing engineering manuals. I mean, that is like way up there on the intelligence level. She wanted to be homeless. That's what the goal of the church should be, to pull people up to their greatness, to who they truly are. Many of the behaviors that we live out are really survival tactics that we've learned to avoid the pain of our reality. Pauper living is really the condition of slaves who've not yet discovered the freedom that lies on the other side of Jordan. They're still captured in slave thinking in their minds, and they're still under the oppression and the torture of Pharaoh. Did you guys know that the main reason why the children of Israel wandered for 40 years? Because God couldn't get them out of their slave thinking. He doesn't use the word perception, but that's what he's talking about. They kept wanting to turn back to their slave ways, turn back to their idols, whine, moan, and groan. You could find that list that I first read, characteristics of victims, show up big time in the children of Israel. They whined and moaned and groaned and complained, and nothing was ever good enough. We're tired of this manna. We want meat. We need some water. God gave it to them every time they whined. But you know what? He got sick of their whining. I think God gets sick of our whining. In fact, he was ready. He got fed up with them. I could just see him as like, I get tired of my kids. Okay, I've had it. Turn around, everybody's going to spank him.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's how God got. He's like, okay, I've had it. I've given you meat. I've given you water. I've promised you land of milk and honey, and you're still whining. I'm doing away with all of you right now. Moses had to go contend on behalf of the children of Israel. God was done, ready to do away with all of them. And God had mercy because Moses convinced them otherwise. So how long are we going to keep wandering and turning back to our old lives like dogs turn back to their vomit? Pretty dramatic imagery. But that's what we do. We turn back to the dregs of our belief system and live out of that place. No better than a dog turning back to its vomit, really. And John 8:35 says that no slave has a permanent place in the family of God, but a son or a daughter belongs there forever. And to whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And another example of prisoners in our mind is really a prisoner, a man that's been incarcerated for a long, long period of time, and they get let out. Many of them commit suicide. My husband and I had homeless ministry, and we worked specifically with people that were coming out of prison. I'm sorry you're so hot. I'm sorry you're falling asleep because you're so hot. Handful. But I'm going to do something fun in a minute, so stay awake. Anyway, they've gotten so imprisoned in their mind and used to being incarcerated and used to being their lives being that they can't function in the real world. They either kill themselves or they'll commit a crime so they can get put back in. And that is what we do. Stuff gets hard, and instead of turning to who we really are and our Heavenly Father, we go back to the dregs of our past. We start thinking, what did I used to use when I was having that problem? Oh, I would get me a big old Coke and a candy bar and zone out in front of the love story. That's what I used to do. That'll make me feel better. Right. Don't laugh. You know you do it. Or you go to the mall and you spend money that you don't have.
Right, yeah.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
To make you feel better? Eat. You know what? I always want comfort food from my childhood. I want to eat SpaghettiOs and meatballs out of a can. Is that gross?
Yeah.
Is that even real food? So it's not God's plan for us to maintain this low status. Not only does he consider us daughters, but in John 15:14-15, he says, you are my friends. I no longer call you slaves because servants don't know their master's heart. I think I quoted that to you the other night, didn't I? God gave that to me for you. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. It doesn't say I want to make known to you. It says I have made known for you. It is already laid out there. The table's already set. All we have to do is sit down. You know, that's what one of the things that the Lord spoke to Philip when he got sick is he said, I am calling you out of the field into my table. No longer will you be a worker. But you are my son. And that's what he wants for us. No longer are you my servant. You're not just my daughters. I want you to be my friend. I want to share my heart with you. That is how we learn how we're supposed to live out our position in the kingdom. It's by hearing God's voice. getting our instructions from the Heavenly Father. You can't get that until you've attained this position. Clement was just talking to me about it privately. He said that some of the people wanted to soar up to this, you know, this equal place with Christ. You know, the Bible says we go from glory to glory. You know, if you're thinking you're way up there and you hadn't come up the steps properly, you're probably not way up there. You're just a, you know, you're out just taking a walk. So, let's see what else. I need to get busy. I've got lots more pages of notes in a few minutes. Let me zoom through some of this. So, how long will we wander before we get the message that we have, that what we've been doing and trying to do to get beyond our stuff is not working? How many ministry sessions do we need to get? How many programs do we need to go through? How many more deliverance prayers do we need before we recognize that maybe we're not rust from demons anymore? Maybe we're just slaves to these false beliefs I've been talking about. Now, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Who's your master? How long? As long as you do not see yourself as a child of the King and cannot conceive that you're a daughter of the Most High, then you're a slave to another master. What has got you captured in your mind? If you, you know, some of you might, I'm going to just kind of whiz through this. Some of you might have trouble conceiving this because, you know what, we get taught this thing of humility in the church.
Yeah.
We're just supposed to be humble. It's kind of that sinner saved by grace thing. You know, we don't want to be puffed up and promote ourselves because that's pride. And so to not be prideful, we're taught to demean ourselves. You know, we sing a beautiful song and someone says how beautiful it was. Oh, it's just Jesus. Glory to God. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. It's all glory to God. You know, that is false humility. It's false humility, and it will keep saints in darkness to who we truly are. And it not only will keep you in darkness, but it will prevent you from stepping into your destiny. And I have this little poem. I'm going to read you this real quick. It's called Our Deepest Fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God, and your playing small does not serve the world or your God whatsoever. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. If you've said the sinner's prayer, then you've got the glory of God in you. As we live out our light and let it shine, we will unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated beyond our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. I think that what assesses the essence of our value is the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us. Do you think that he paid that price so we'd just stay sinners, saved by grace, and this false humility of who we really aren't? Again, not to embrace what Jesus did for us and live in this status that a lot of us choose to live in is to make what Jesus did on the cross in vain. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven someday and stand before the judge, I want him to say that my life has been written down in history books, that I carried the glory of God and I brought it to this earth and I did it well. And I wasn't ashamed of who I was. We're to be partakers of his glory, to bring glory to him and to bring his glory on this earth. And it says that I've learned in reading books about great people and great kings. That's something that I do. The greatness of a king's subjects bring glory to Him. So ask yourself this question: what glory is your life bringing to your King? False humility steals our true names, it defaces our true identities, and then it ultimately makes us harmless against the powers of darkness. When we're sold out to false beliefs and the victim perception and pauper living and slavery, whatever you want to call it, we're powerless to the onslaught of the devil. Satan uses the power of these lies to cut off our confidence and to paralyze us as the children of God. So if you're fed up and worn out with feeling powerless, you're right with me. It's probably one of the reasons why you came here, since you're fed up feeling powerless against the enemy. Is that one of the reasons why you came here? Well, I declare over you that the miracle that you've been praying for, the miracle that you came here for, is already lying within you. It just hasn't been given a voice. It's been drowned out by all the false beliefs that we choose to hang on to. But there is a valiant warrior of royal descent inside each one of you. And once you grab hold of that revelation, and it is a revelation, the light bulb has to come on for you. It's a supernatural occurrence. Once you get the revelation of who you are, it's going to catapult you into your destiny and inspire others to greatness. And the things that the enemy wants to taunt you with seem so small. Now, true humility gives us eyes to see the awesome work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. It births an awareness of God's greatness, and it matures us to this place where we can live in a state of awe of who He has created us to be. If we know we're destined for greatness, then how can we even consider abandoning this honored position in the kingdom of God and not live up to the greatness of our full potential, but relegate ourselves to this life of victimness and pauperhood and slavery and vomit, like I said before? Why would we choose that? Which team sounds better to you? Do you want to be on the slave team or the warrior team? If you're going to pick a team to be by their names, whose team would you be picked to be on? What life do you want? What position do you want in the kingdom of God? Whose report do you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. God is calling us, calling you, calling me, calling the children of God into our true identity. When we begin to act like the royalty that we are, the issues that seem so huge, I just said that, are just going to become mere stepping stones to our true character. So for those of you that have ears to hear and eyes to see today, the word that I brought forth, this is the ministry that I want to do to help you. To come out of your victim perceptions, pauper living, slavery, however, whatever story or whatever can be connected with. I want to help you come out of that thinking. And the way I'm going to do that is this. The devil's attached names to all of us. He's assigned names to all of us. And they relate to the beliefs, the false beliefs that we have, and that disempower us and keep us in bondage. Names can be prophetic declarations. They can be declaration of cursings or declaration of blessings. It's important to learn what God thinks of us and what He calls us. I believe that when He calls us, He doesn't use our earthly names, although some of our earthly names have very powerful meanings. But I discovered several years ago that my purpose is to restore wounded souls. So I feel like that when God speaks to me, He says, restorer of wounded souls. My earthly name is Darlena. It means God's little darling. And sometimes when I'm having conversations with God, He refers me to His darling, and I love that. But it's important to find out what God calls us. Is He calling you His darling? Is He calling you my precious daughter? Is he calling you? Restore a wounded soul. Is he calling you the person, you know, that set the captives free? What is he calling you? What is your name? You need to learn them and then live up to them. Not by the names that tie us to our bondage. Because the enemy has names for us too. A prophetic declaration is more than just words or names. It releases grace to accomplish what it means and it says. The names in the Bible were given to great men and women of God for them to be able to claim their identity, and it released the characteristics and qualities in their life that they needed to do what God had called them to do. You see that in Moses and Joshua and Abraham and all the great women. He equipped them. One of my favorite stories about this whole concept is about the names. Cheat. At Saul's story, when Samuel called him out, Saul was out looking for his father's donkey. And he wanted to go see the prophet in town. See if the prophet knew where his donkeys were. And the Lord told Samuel that Saul was coming. And he said, when Saul gets here, I want you to tell him that he's going to be ruler over Israel. And Saul arrived, as the Lord said. Said, have you seen my donkeys? And he said, your donkeys are taken care of, but I need to share my heart with you, or the heart of God with you. And he began to share, you're gonna rule over Israel. And he's like, you must be mistaken, because I came from this really small tribe. See, that's what we do. God tells us to do these great, incredible things. You know, maybe the reason why you haven't discovered what your position is in Christ is because you're not ready. Because what happens when God tells us what we're supposed to do and we're not ready is we tell him how we can't do it. And Moses wanted to do that. He wanted to tell him, well, I stutter. Whatever. That's not our role in life, is to tell God we can't do it. Because God can cause us to be able to do anything that he wants us to do. We just have to believe. You know, many men and women were required to change their name. Saul to Paul, where he talks about that, in order to walk in the fullness of who God called them to be and what he called them to do. So here's what we're going to do. We have 15 minutes. I'm 30? Okay. I had the precious ladies here that do everything in this camp. Bring paper, pen, and I want you to take. You want to help me pass this around? One of you two. Everybody gets two sheets. Be sure you return the pen. I'll pass the pens back to you. You can just pass them back. Okay, the first piece of paper is going to be our trash. What I want you to write on that, I don't think you have to put much thought into this or ask anybody or ask God this, the answer to this question. What does the devil call you? What are the names that he reminds you of every day? When you have that list, when you're done writing that list of the names that Satan reminds you of who you are, or write about the things from your past. It is the past, the things from your past that the enemy wants to remind you of. Whatever things from the past that the enemy throws at you to try and bring you down, that's what I want you to write on that piece of paper. If you're related to some of those characteristics as a victim or related to some of the false beliefs that I gave examples of, those are the kinds of things you can write down. What are those lies and false beliefs that keep you from believing who you really are in Christ? Just whatever you want, you know. Are y'all are all starting to look at that? And are you done? Who's not done?
How many are we supposed to
have? Well, there's no limit. There's no limit. You know. Just the things the enemy torments you, that still torments you with, it brings you down and, you know, stills your joy, stills your peace. Those kinds of things. Those names he calls you. You know, undeserving of love. Never going to amount to anything. Anger is power. We have to be in control. No one will control us. Those false beliefs. And a lot of times there's a name attached to them. If you can't think of a name, just write down the false belief, the lie. It's usually something doesn't take me very long. Who needs some more time? Are we done? Yes. Do you hold your card up if you're done? Okay. And on the count of three, we're going to wad those up. One, two, three. Wad up. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to do the deliverance around the different principalities that I feel play into victim slavery mentality. First of all, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. Spirit of truth, come. Be in our midst. Holy Spirit, you already live inside all of us. And I ask you to come alive and make yourself known among us, to us, through us. Father God, I pray that this moment in these women's lives would be a moment that they can write down in their book of remembrance when a change took place in their life. When a shifting took place in their beliefs about who they are. Father, I pray that this little activity that we're doing in the natural would set things in motion in the supernatural realm. They would cause something supernatural to take place in the minds of these women. They would no longer live out of the dregs of their past. They would no longer live in slavery. They would no longer live in peasanthood. They would no longer live life as a victim. But they would get a revelation, clear vision of who they are in Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of jealousy who brings with it anger and hate and bitterness and unforgiveness. And I speak to the spirit of jealousy to loose these women and set them free. I speak against the spirit of heaviness that brings rejection and despair, brokenheartedness, depression, suicide thoughts, death thoughts. I tell you to go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, anxiety, torment, all that comes with fear, fear of the future, fear of never amounting to anything. Fear that you'll never be used by God. Fear that you will never be able to carry the calling on your life because you're inadequate. Fear of inadequacy, I come against you in the name of Jesus. Spirit of bondage, I speak against any form of addiction, any form of self-medicating, any form of self-comfort, anything that you use in your life to comfort yourself outside of the love of Christ, I speak against in the name of Jesus. And I proclaim over you that you will no longer live out of slavery. You will no longer turn back to slavery. You will no longer turn to the vomit of your past. You will no longer live like a peasant girl. But you will be held, you will become keenly aware of what comes out of your mouth and your behavior. And I declare over you today that you are a daughter of the Most High God. You are royalty. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. You're the glory of God. And you will begin to act and walk and think like the daughter of the Most High that you have been called to be in Jesus' name. When you're ready, I want you to come throw that in the trash. It's going to be our trash can. Thank you.
I'll leave the birds.
Throw your past in the trash can.
Yeah.
But we're not done, so don't leave. We have paper number two. I know you're hot. Bear with me. If it was not a safety hazard, we would have a bonfire. Okay, now I'm. What we're going to do now is I have a special song that I brought to play for you, to play over you. And what I want you to do in this song, I don't want you to fiddle with anything. I don't want you to lay your hands on anybody. This moment is for you. I just want you to focus on you. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to listen and I want you to see with your spirit. And let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let the Father minister to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting us today. Thank you, Father God, for visiting us today. Thank you, Father God, that we don't have to live out of the dregs of our past. That we don't have to live in slavery, enslaved to what the enemy tells us that we are. We choose to believe who you say we are, who you declare that we are. Father, and I thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will visit each one of these women right now, that they will be able to hear your voice, that you will open the eyes of their hearts, open the ears of their hearts so they can see and they can hear how you see them,
yeah.
What you think of them, and what you have called them to be and purpose to do. I pray for a supernatural encounter. I pray that the Lord would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you could not contain. In Jesus' name. Now on that second piece of paper, I want you to list what you heard the Father say to you today during this song, during this teaching, sitting in your chair right now. Who does He say you are? How does He feel about you? What does He think about you? What has He called you to do? Not what you think that you can do, not who you think that you are, but who does your Heavenly Father say that you are? What has He called you to do? What has He gifted you to do? I want you to write that down as a declaration today on that piece of paper. And we're going to keep that as a memorial. Just like the children of Israel kept the stones when they crossed the Jordan as a memorial. They could look back on this day and remember when they crossed over into the promised land. This is going to be, I declare this day, a day of remembrance for you. You're going to keep this piece of paper and remember this day when God spoke to you and told you who you were. It is March the 22nd.
I'm dripping.
I'm sorry, I didn't notice, or I would have brought one to you. When you're done, if you'll just kind of wave the little paper at me, so just wave your paper at me or wave at me or somehow let me know that you're done. He's not done. Is it just one person that's not done? Is there more than one? Okay, we'll wait for you, hon. Well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do while she's finishing up. I want you to stand up. We're going to count to three again. And I'm going to, on the count of three, I'm going to say, I am. And I want you guys to just start speaking out. Or you can yell, scream, whatever you want to do. I want you to speak out what you have on that paper. Everybody's going to be talking at the same time. So it's not like we're going to be focusing in on one person. We're making a prophetic declaration over yourself today. Glenn said we're not supposed to prophesy to each other, but we're not doing that. You're prophesying over yourself. You're declaring who you are today, and that declaration is releasing the characteristics that you need to carry out your calling. Are we all standing now? Now, I don't want you to be timid. This is a day of remembrance. says, not only are you declaring to your God who you are, but you're telling the enemy who you are. And we want to do that with a voice of triumph over the enemy. Okay? Y'all ready? One, two, three. I am. Yes, Father God, we thank you that just like the children of Israel remembered the day they walked into the promised land, that these women walked into their promise, their promises today.
Yes.
And this will be a day of remembrance that they can record and show in the face of the enemy when he tries to show up on their doorstep and tell them who they're not.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy ever tell you who you're not.
Yes.
Because today you just declared who you are.
Amen.
And I pray the Spirit of truth would come alive in you and begin to just reveal more and more and more of who you are.
Yes.
I don't care what you've been through. How many people have hurt you? How many people have violated you? God has the ability to redeem everything in your life for His good.
Yes.
And I declare over you that God's going to turn your pain into your passion.
Yes. Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Yay, God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.